Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Monday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is October 19th. Andy, how are we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing great. In the words of Will Knight, no one beats Jason Kokrak 233 times in a row.
That's pretty good. His 10th year on tour. I did not know that. 10. I know he's been in and out and around and all that, but 10 years. Does it feel like he's been on tour 10 years to you?
No. You know why?
Maybe longer.
Because why? For the majority of those 10 years, he was just one of those irrelevant tour players that just is hanging around 100.
Yeah. Yeah. But good on him. He's gotten demonstrably better in the last, I don't know, 3-4 years, something like that. Biggest events. Go ahead.
I was listening to the announcers talk about how, you know, how he's been talking to his coach, and his coach, you know, convinced him if he hit wedges better, he'd win. And it's like, no shit, man. Like, you hit the ball forever, you hit irons well, and you're just horrible on around anything inside 100 yards. He's just been abysmal for his career.
And big,
it's
win.
Like, just go. And he's just like, yeah, I'm just working on my wedges. You know, it's like the DJ thing. It's like, you know, duh.
We played, or we talked with someone who played thousands of rounds junior golf with him. They heard some from somebody. Did I send you that? The person who
you did
got,
text
a friend
me.
Of the program?
Yeah. Anonymous.
They said
source.
He was short, super short, and accurate, and a great putter, which is kind of like the opposite of everything now. He's like this big boomer, a little wild, not necessarily the most accurate at hitting the fairway, I would say. And then kind of, everything else is, you know, just try to hang on, get the ball in the hole, right? I mean, it's kind of the opposite. It's interesting. Metamorphosis from junior golf, allegedly.
I find it amazing that just a couple weeks ago, you jumped on the Kokrak bandwagon.
Yeah,
you became a Kokrak head. And next thing you know, he went.
I love the story. I love the golf hotbed of Xavier University, Cincinnati. Lives in Cleveland or Northeast Ohio, just outside. Doesn't do the Jupe Life thing.
Although, does the Vegas thing.
Did you see he called like Shadow Creek like a home, second home game? But just because he's sponsored by MGM, which owns it. Like, what is that? Is that all it takes these days for a place to feel like home? I could see Ricky saying that. You know, Detroit's like home to me. I've never been there before, but that's where Rocket Mortgage is.
Isn't his coach out there too, though?
Maybe. I don't know. But he's sponsored by BetMGM or MGM. I don't know. A lot of gambling references this weekend.
Our chief data officer texted me and said, this has to be the first time or one of the few times that a player has won on a course that their sponsor owns.
That's a great point. I have to think about that.
Has anybody ever... I mean, if Siwoo Kim wins at the Players, any TPC... He's sponsored by Live Under Par. Is he still, now that Live Under Par is no more, is he still wearing the Live Under Par?
I mean, he had it in like August. I think he still got it. Maybe it went out with the new season. No, but I love the Kokrak story. I'm off the Kokrak hate. He's your poster boy for the bomb and gouge, like the talent, you know, can't separate it anymore. Like that.
I don't know what I'm going
to
do without...
Like, he just won the CJ Cup.
I don't know what I'm going to do without him. Now I can't. He can't be my guy that I just throw out there. You know.
I wonder how many golfers have come out of Xavier, made the tour.
Andy Pope.
Oh, that's right. Good
He's
call.
On the web tour.
I need to go see like who's not like has Texas produced a winner this year. Just like kind of talk about Xavier having more winners on tour this, you know, than some big school that produces a bunch of golfers. I should write
a whole blog about it.
Yeah, like now we're way off topic. But Xavier, like that, if you go to some small school or you're an alum of some small school and they tell you they can't come up with an athletic program and they tell you all the reasons why, you need to point to Xavier. Xavier's like the model. It's like the smallest school, Jesuit school.
They charge shitload for tuition. You know?
Incredible basketball program. Like, you know, all these MAC schools are 5 and 10 times bigger and they got nothing compared to Xavier. Anyways, we're off topic. Congrats to Jason Kokrek.
The Kokrekheads.
Maybe the Kokrekheads. I thought maybe the, you know how Darren Rovell used to tweet, like, what are your headlines? And you would send like the worst possible pun. Headline, the shotgun start headline for Jason Kokrek tomorrow. Overcoming adversity. The CT machine battle in this pairing was quite dramatic. We had Xander and Kokrek. Can they overcome the drama of last year of failing the test?
Neither was tested at any point in 2020.
Was Kokrek's public? Did we just out that one?
I think we outed that one.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. It's unbelievable. Like, we're playing the hits right now, but I think we need to stop and remind ourselves golf has come back and there's been COVID testing, which is great. Congrats. They've done a great job. While the NFL seems to, stumble around.
I think the NFL's a little bit different situation in terms of the game and.
Yeah, you know. Of course. But credit to where the PGA, like the return to golf, all caps, has been successful. But they have not tested a effing thing. So I don't think there's been a drug test. I don't think there's been a CT test. This is a $1 billion enterprise.
You're playing for millions of dollars. Like, what did Kokrek win? What did Kokrek and the Crackheads win?
Like, didn't he win like almost $2 million, I think?
Yeah.
It's over a $9 million purse.
If you're playing for $2 million, it's likely that somebody in the field is cheating. I'm sorry. You know, maybe I'm just pessimistic. You know, I know it's a game of honor. That's what the game is. But if you're playing for millions of dollars every week, there are going to be people cheating.
I don't understand. Can we just look, playing the hits? We need to shout about it, though. Well, this is a competitive sport, allegedly. It's where guys are looking for an edge. It's millions of dollars on the line. It's a $1 billion league worth all this money, nonprofit, of course, but. They got a test. There's zero oversight happening. There's no oversight of these guys' equipment. Phil's on the Champions Tour talking about how he put some new driver in play with extra pop that has carry. Like, I think these guys, they drive down Magnolia Lane. Before they're out of their car, they got to piss in a cup and put their driver on the CT machine. And then if you want to play the Masters, that's what you got to do. Like, I cannot believe that none of this is happening. And I'm not suggesting Kokrek was doing anything nefarious.
See, it sounds like you're accusing him.
No. It just triggered the whole thinking back to last year with him and Xander. And we need a monthly reminder that this is absurd. That this is not happening. There's zero oversight going on right now on a sport where equipment is like a major part of how the sport is played. It's not like basketball. Go ahead.
Imagine if the SEC didn't exist for traders, you know?
Yep.
Like, there's no regulations. Everybody could do whatever they wanted, like insider trading galore.
Yep.
Imagine if that's essentially what the PGA Tour is.
There's not been a single test since they got back. I don't believe it's crazy. I'm not expecting it to be fast-tracked.
Like, it's not even that hard. The CT machine takes a mere seconds. You just set it up on the first tee, and you test everybody's driver before they tee off every single round. It's not that hard.
And I guess my whole point is, like, wouldn't you want that extra level of security so you can just deny, there's no appearance of impropriety? It's not even like, right? Maybe there is probably a guy that's cheating, but
why
probably
are we
most
talking
of,
about this right now?
Many of them aren't. I can't believe this has not happened since the return to golf. We've stayed off it. We haven't pounced, and we're pouncing right now. It's not happened since the return to golf, and it's insane. And we need to talk about it every now and then and remind ourselves.
It's not just the driver either.
No, of course. The grooves. Like,
the grooves. Nobody would ever know.
I mean, you got Bryson out there just trying to do everything. Again, not calling him out specifically. Of course there's people fiddling with tinkering with everything. It's crazy. Unbelievable. All right. I get it. If it's like the weekend, I don't know.
Can we talk about something else about Coke Crack?
Yeah.
Did you see his pre-shot routine? How he swings like really hard right next to the ball.
Yeah. Precarious, huh?
Not a lot of guys do it. The other guy we've seen do it, Zach, obviously had his moment in Augusta.
I mean, how hard does Zach swing though? It's full speed, I guess.
It's just so strange to watch him hit a ball. It kind of drives me insane how he swings hard right next to it.
But there's no penalty for it, right?
Well, we saw
with Zach.
Yeah, but it's just weird. Nobody does it. I guess it's a unique thing about Coke Crack.
There you go.
Takes his practice swing right next to the ball. I don't like it at all. It makes me uncomfortable when he's standing up there.
Big win for the troops too.
He wasn't using a PXG driver.
I was gonna say you're on top of it. You are. You know? Do you know how many PXG clubs he used?
Probably like is the bare minimum that his contract requires.
I think it's just irons. All his wedges are Vokey, Titleist ball.
He's got a
Bettinardi putter, TaylorMade driver,
7 club contract with PXG.
On the hat and bag too.
What was on his shirt? The stamp passports.
Yeah, what was that all about? I zoomed in to try and look.
There were some bad looks on Sunday.
Sure.
He was leading the way.
But TaylorMade sent out a tweet thumping their chest, puffing out their chest about his driver. I mean, that's going to irk Bob Parsons. Bob Parsons is going to send a tactical unit over at TaylorMade. It's like, what are you doing? I mean, none of this shit matters, right? Whether it has PXG on it or it's TaylorMade, it's all for marketing bullshit. But, I mean, you know what I was thinking earlier today? We should have a Bob Parsons imitation contest. Send in your Bob Parsons imitation. Do your own ad read, come up with your own script, and we'll give away something. That'd be pretty fun. PXG, nobody makes golf clubs like we do.
Nobody.
Period. Those ads, getting assaulted. My ears assaulted by those all weekend. All right. Anything else from Vegas?
Yeah.
Jason Day, WD.
How about Xander finishing runner-up again?
I was going to say.
What happens more, Jason Day, WD, or Xander finishing second?
Xander's a big bridesmaid. Loves to be the bridesmaid. Tell you that. He's got some wins. I don't know how many were in full field events, but he's got some wins.
I just moseyed over to the OWGR, and I have to apologize. I'm going to have to issue an apology right away. How can I forget that he won the Shadow Leaderboard Championship?
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Not a bridesmaid, but he still did. He finished second on the Shadow Leaderboard in 2019.
He likes that East Lake, huh? He's won there in 2017, right?
God. So he's second at HSBC last year, which isn't happening this year. We only have four WGCs this year.
Four?
Yeah, no HSBC this year.
No match play either. Are there four total?
I'm saying in the 2020-2021 season.
Oh, okay.
Century Tournament Champions, T2nd. T3 at Chuck Schwab Challenge at the Challenge.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Then he won.
What are you just reading off his OWGR page for?
I guess he's got 7 runner-ups. He's got 5 wins and 7 runner-ups on his career.
Good season.
On his career.
Good career. Okay,
yeah,
good.
On his career. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Jason Day had a stiff neck. Brooksy played golf, stayed upright, seemed okay. I don't know. He's doing workouts. Is he on another trainer? Guy's cycling through trainers. He's got some new guy that's Instagramming his. He's throwing medicine balls around, you know, all angry. I think he's on his third trainer in like, you know, a year or something. Don't quote me on that. Maybe it's just a rehab guy for his knee and hip and all that stuff. But he stayed upright, looked fine. Any reaction to him?
No. I mean, he played golf. It's good to see him play golf.
That's what I thought. Rory.
Rory led the field in strokes gained off the tee.
How about this quote? You know, the last 2 weeks, every swing that I've made, every ball that I've hit has been with at least two or three swing thoughts. Oof. That doesn't seem like a good way to be, good place to be. I know he's exceptionally talented, smart, genius swinger of the golf club. But every ball that you've hit had at least two or three swing thoughts? That seems like a way to be discombobulated. Rory McIlroy is player of the year. He doesn't need to change anything. He doesn't need to. I mean, it feels like Bryson's getting in his head a little bit. The last thing he needs to do is tinker around.
Dancing. Bryson might be renting space in Rory's head.
Oh, come on.
The way Brooks was renting space in Bryson's head.
That's ridiculous. Rory's.
I'm telling you, he screwed Rory up when he played with him and outdrove him by like 30 yards every time. Rory hasn't been the same since.
Rory doesn't need to change anything. He's a player year.
You're just buying into the Pontevedra hype with that.
No, I'm not. I'm not suggesting that at all. I'm just saying I don't think he needs to be going overhauling a bunch of stuff. That's it. All right. Anything else on Las Vegas?
Is Bryson the new Prince of Pontevedra? They just love him. Because they love him more than anything. Everybody at PGA Tour is just fawning over Bryson. They feel like he's their golden ticket. And now Rory's been demoted to the pauper.
I don't think that's right. I don't think that's accurate at all. Thick Boy could be a PGL guy for all we know. Who knows? We know Rory's come out against it. So. Never know. You got to be careful with who you crown the prince. Guy could be doing deals with the other prince, Mohammed bin Salman.
Thick boy won't be able to use the 48-inch driver at TPC Sawgrass.
It's too narrow or too tight?
Yeah, then the fairways run out.
Just bombing it into hazards, three holes over, things like that. Anything else on Las Vegas? The gambling odds, a lot of tweets.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that.
Okay.
They're just all over the place.
Not subtle. Not.
Are we now like replacing like any form of statistics and intelligent conversation on the telecast with just like live gambling odds? Is that what just happened this week?
I may not be the audience for this. Like, it doesn't do anything for me. Right. It doesn't. On Thursday morning, they were talking about how I think PGA Tour Live Xander is like super underrated. The thing you always pop me for. While he was like, this is before it started. He didn't have a lead on anybody. While his like odds, he was like the heavy favorite in the group that he was playing it with, like in the marquee group. I was like, well, what is he? It doesn't do anything for me. These odds, these plus. Minus whatever, I didn't think it was very illuminating in any way.
Then they were like, you know, it's like, oh yeah, the group behind, you know, Kokrak and Xander are on 18, and they're like talking about the odds for the winner and the group behind them, and it's like these guys need to make like a freaking 2 on 18. To win. Of course their odds are shitty. Like, it just felt weird with Kokrak coming down 18, like with, you know, he's been on tour for 10 years and you're talking about odds of the group behind him.
Yeah, you need to be surgical and.
But I know there's got to be an adjustment period. They're going to get used to how they weave these things in here. But to me,
or there's not going to be an adjustment period, and because it's a brand partner, it's just another way to lard up. You got FedEx Cup standings, you got MGM, DraftKings, whatever other freaking partners that it could be. Just another way to just throw useless numbers at you. Not useless, but you know what I mean. Kind of extraneous, superfluous stuff because it's sponsored. Could be that.
Did it make you want to bet at all? Did it make you want to throw some action on?
No.
No.
But I'm sure maybe it does for a lot of people. I can't throw action. I live in Maryland. I can't do it.
I get that they're going to make money off it, but it just... It just seems more. I know all these other leagues have partnerships. Like, I don't feel like when I watch the NFL, I just get this shit bashed on my head.
Or NBA.
Like, yeah.
If you know whoever gets the next rebound is plus 500 or something like that, you don't get that.
No. I don't understand why it has to be bashed over our heads.
Or on the graphics. Anyways, maybe we're just complaining to complain, but it felt like a lot. And like you said, there's an adjustment period, and it didn't add a ton for me. So that's all. Maybe when I have the ability to gamble on my phone, that'll change. Maybe. I don't know. Okay, anything else on the CJ plaque?
Yeah, I enjoyed how Shadow Creek played the last couple of days. It was really firm out there.
Good.
It was nice. I like the finish out there. I was thinking about it. That 15th hole is really tough.
Okay.
You got to, you know, it's a really good strategic hole with the way that creek cuts across.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if you're on the left side, you have much better shot in than if you're on the right side there. And then I like the two par fives and a shortish par three coming in. Like, the guy hits really great golf shots. He can take it from somebody. Obviously, Kokrak, the putting was just insane with Kokrak in the middle of the round. Did you see that?
Yeah. What, he gained more than 10 shots this round, too?
I think there was like a four-hole stretch where he poured in like a 30-footer every single hole.
I think it was the highest strokes gained round of his career, if I'm not mistaken.
No shit. I mean, he never putted well in his...
I know. But even like for a winner, too, I think they said something like Pat Reed in Mexico was one, but it's like one of the highest all season for a winner. So,
but yeah, you know, now the question is, can Kokrak continue? Can the Kokrak heads continue to celebrate? You know, will he... What's next for Kokrak now that he's got this big...
I don't know.
Weight off his back.
We'll see. Could be a trendy dark horse, the Masters pick.
Murder
sleepers. Football. Sleepers, you know.
The drive he hit on 18 was awesome.
That was a cool drive. That's cool. Hey, it's a good story. Guy worked his ass off, got a lot better at golf. He never won in 232 starts. He won, that's 233rd, as Will Knight said. It's a good story in that way. This wasn't out of nowhere. He's factored at big events. Factored being loosely used, but it's not an out of nowhere win. Guy who's gotten significantly better with hard work over his career. Maybe a few bigger driver heads too.
Let me ask you a question.
What?
Since you're such a big Kokrak fan, did it feel like Victory Monday? Does it feel like Victory Monday, even though your Browns got just smoked today?
Well, you know, he's a Cleveland guy, so it is a Victory Monday. Browns, I had expectations were through the floor today. They were good. I played golf this morning with a friend of the program, excellent golf journalist, writer, Kevin Van Valkenburg. And I told him, like, we were going to get our ass kicked today. And that happened. Everybody's hurt. Baker's hurt. Odell's hurt. Kareem Hunt's hurt. Our best line was out. Both our safeties were out. That's the NFL. It's not an excuse. But that was just this week for that. I saw that coming from a mile away. We were going to get it right. And we're not that good. So Pittsburgh's good. So expectations are super low. So I took that one in stride. That's all. Your Bears are, what, 4-1? 5-1?
5-1. First place in the NFC North.
Because the Packers got smoked, right?
Packers got just smoked on national TV. It was like a cherry on top of the day.
Good stuff. Is Nick Foles okay? Passable?
No, they stink, man. They're not good. They're like a very average team. They have not. I mean, today's win was good. They got some terrible calls go against them in the second half, basically gave Carolina touchdowns, and they were awful calls. And they went on the road with terrible calls against them. That's what good teams do. But they aren't good. They are not good in any way. Their defense is good. Their offense is not.
So this is like the whole catch 22 of this thing, like where you know they're not good, you know they can't win the Super Bowl, but like all it does, it might prolong the GM and Matt Nagy era, right? Like you gotta we had a 10-win season in 2020. You don't remember that? Like that's just the whole issue, the dance you gotta do.
I mean, they're 5-1 right now.
I know. That's good. I mean,
their schedule's been pretty easy. They got the Rams and the Saints coming up. It could get.
GM again? Pace.
Pace. He'll probably trade away like three draft picks around the trade deadline just to
some more tight ends.
Get somebody like Mohamed Sanu or something on the roster.
Go. Yeah. Congrats though. Congrats. Okay. Anything else on Las Vegas? We good? We did more than I anticipated on that. CJ Plaque trophy still definitely not a cup.
You know, for all the people that, you know, are waiting for that Spieth comeback, he shot a Sunday 67.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Finished T38.
Good for him. He's on the way. On the way back. T38's better than DFL. All right. On the European tour, Adrian Otagwe wins the Scottish Championship. There was
at the old course.
Not at the old course. Hey, did you see? We got several alerts about this.
Yeah.
Listeners setting off alarm bells. You see what he said? His quote? To be able to win in Scotland, especially in here in St. Andrews, the home of golf, it means a lot to me. He called it the home of golf. Then you have St. Andrews links at the home of golf on Twitter saying congrats from everyone at the home of golf. Fantastic performance next door this week. So he's calling it the home of golf.
You know what's going to happen? Fairmont St. Andrews is going to take that tweet, that quote, and put it right up on their website.
I have some support for you.
Oh, yeah.
Your argument.
Duh. I mean, people are idiots. People are morons. This is clearly the most obvious thing that people can screw up in the world. Like, anybody that's like, oh, you know, no, nobody's that dumb. Like, just go observe the world for a day and you'll realize how many idiots there are in the world, including myself. I'm a huge idiot.
Yeah,
I admit that I'm an idiot. You know, you should just take a look at my email inbox and then you'll see how big of an idiot I am.
What does that mean? What do you mean?
Like, that's how I'm an idiot. I can't like reply to emails.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Well, that's a problem everybody has. So we got testimony from a travel agent in Australia. I shared it. That's this person's been booking people forever thinking that, you know, Fairmont was, you know, St. Andrews, the home of golf, the old course. She was horrified when somebody who knows golf was like, no, that's not it. But it's a support I wanted to tell you about. Dateline for the AP piece, you know, Associated Press, where you put at the top where you are, it says Fife, Scotland. So they're not in St. Andrews. I go by the dateline of the Associated Press. If it's St. Andrews, it would say St. Andrews, Scotland, Fife, Scotland. Also, John Huggins write up of the whole thing. His first sentence is like, the Fairmont place, which is next door, near down the road to St. Andrews. He made sure to clarify and qualify, this is not the Old Course associated with St. Andrews in any way, shape, or form. But I did appreciate Otagwe saying he enjoyed it, added a little something extra to be doing it at the Home of Golf. So, oh, one other. I guess we got all sorts of people from Europe writing us messages. I guess another one that's a huge violator of this is Port Marnock. There's something called, so Royal Port Marnock is the famous. There's something called, they put it in the title, Port Marnock Links. And they paid to have the top return in Google. So I guess people, this like happens all the time. People Google and book it through that. And they show up and they're all pissed. I guess it's happened in there a bunch. There's all sorts of these tricks going on. I think it seems like mostly in the UK, maybe a little bit in Ireland. So
Port Marnock Golf Club. And then there's Port Marnock Golf Links. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They say they're an offender of that. So anything reaction to the Scottish Championship, Adrian Otagwe?
I mean, what a final round from Adrian. I turned this on.
8 birdies, 11 holes, I think.
Yeah. It's pretty incredible. Third Euro Tour win?
And absolutely, yeah. First in a stroke play. He won the Belgian knockout and then another match play event, like the Paul Laurie match play event.
How about Aaron Rye, too?
Yeah.
Another top three.
Otagwe is known mostly for being a slowpoke. He's been called. I think he was on the list that Dodo Molinari shared last year. And then I believe Justin Harding went in on him at Saudi event. Like, this guy's inconsiderate. He's a tortoise or something like that. But he's now a 3-time winner on the European Tour, 23 under at the Home of Golf.
I kind of throw him into the George Coetzee bucket.
What? That's not fair. I think he's younger, more promising. George Coetzee. Define the George Coetzee bucket. What does that mean exactly?
If Adrian Otagwe wins, it's probably a lower tier Euro Tour event.
Some far flung corner. Okay.
I know this one had, you know, Matt Wallace and Westy in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, still.
Okay. No other reactions. That's your European Tour event. On the Champions Tour, Phil Mickelson wins the Dominion Energy Charity Classic at the Country Club of Richmond. He goes 68, 66, 65 to beat Mike Weir by 3 shots. Reaction.
How about that juxtaposition of the final round pairing?
Oh, the duck versus the bombs? Wounded ducks? Yeah. Lefty? Lefty ducks and lefty bombs? Yeah. It's. When did Weir turn 50? Maybe last year?
Yeah, he's been up there popping ducks off for
shot out of the sky. Like it was shot out of the sky.
I mean, Phil's just a carnival act.
He is ridiculous. I put a new driver into play this week, trying to get a little more pop, a little more carry. It was a little wayward at times, but it was also effective in allowing me to play this course the way I wanted to, which was aggressively. So he's playing this as Augusta prep. Loves playing out on the Champions Tour because he can just play as aggressive as possible and doesn't really end up penalizing him. I bet the tours, the suits are not happy about everybody, every week being framed as what it means for Augusta right now. I heard that mentioned on PGA Tour Live. It's like, oh, they're going to get him talking about that, you know, whoever is on the broadcast. And then Phil, you know, playing Champions Tour events solely within the context of what it means for a non-tour property, the Masters. Anything else on Phil?
Nothing. Nothing else. I got
Ryan Harrington of Golf Digest pulled some good stats. So he obviously doesn't qualify. His scoring average is 65 on the Champions Tour. It's kind of ridiculous. What would you guess his driving average is? Champions Tour. So it's whatever, 6 or 8 rounds, however many he's played.
34%.
No, driving yards, average.
Oh, average. 315.
311.7. What would you guess the overall tour average? Now, who knows how this is being calculated? It could be one drive at, you know, I'm not sure how they calculate it, so I don't think they have shot length for sure. But what would you guess the Champions Tour overall tour average is?
So it's important to remember that this includes the likes of, like, you know,
Fred Funk.
Yeah, Fred Funk. Playfair.
Maybe a Larry Nelson here and there, you know, something like
so
that.
So I'm going to say like 272.
Oh, you're good. 276.
Wow.
276. So
you know what's sad is that was probably the average driving distance when most of those guys, all those guys on tour made their tour debut.
When they were like 25 and 30. Yeah. Yeah. But Phil is like 15 yards farther than the next guy. What else do we have here? That's the big one. This one we get. So
I hope he leans into becoming the best Champions Tour player ever, because he'll never, you know, he wasn't the best. I just hope he leans into that. I'd like to see that from him.
He could. It seems like he's really enjoying it, because he's allowed to just rip it and there with minimum penalty.
The greens are soft. The pins are in the middle of the greens.
Hey, that's the other thing. Going back to the Euro Tour, I didn't see it. Allegedly, they were playing lift clean in place.
Yeah. Sounds like Scotland.
It's Scotland. On the links? The Linksland?
It's not built in the Linksland. That's another key difference between it and you know, the real St. Andrews.
Lift clean in place in Scotland. Unbelievable. St. Andrews. Okay. What else do we have on Phil? I don't have anything else.
I really got nothing either.
New driver, extra pop. That's all I got. Is it an indictment of the Champions Tour that these guys just show up and kick everyone's ass? Furyk the same.
You know what? It's just an indictment that this tour has as much money in it as it does.
So I'm thinking it could be more interesting, or maybe we're just getting old now. The players that we know are on it.
I think that is a big selling point. Like, I was excited about Ernie's first start, and I really got it when Ernie went up there. But at the same time, I don't watch it.
Yeah. The Phil thing, I think he makes it interesting, compelling.
Why?
I don't know, because he's a circus act, like you just said, or a carnival act, whatever you call them.
I just think, like, he's washed.
He wants to play 54 all events.
It's like going. It's like, okay, this guy's washed. I could watch, you know, guys that are better on the PGA Tour, or I could watch this guy that's washed go play against guys that are more washed.
No, I agree. I think it is a little bit of an indictment, though, on the tour. Like, these, like, show up and they are clearly better right away.
I think it needs to be completely reworked.
There's potential to have something there. Yeah, what do you mean? Lower the age?
I think you could lower the age, make the events more interesting from, like, a, let's just not play 54 holes of stroke play. Like, let's do some team stuff. Let's do some, like, different formats. Let's do, I'd like to see those guys play with seven clubs. They all can hit a ton of shots. Like, that would be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Like, do try stuff out that you might want to try on the PGA Tour, because those guys, like, it doesn't really matter what happens up there.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a friend of the program on site, Billy Potter, this week. He sent a picture of David Frost. He's got a stand bag that's sponsored by his own wine label, David Frost Wine. We might need to get the David Frost wine and the SGS wine tasting that we never probably will ever do, but a stand bag with your own wine label.
It's gonna be hard to do that wine tasting until COVID's passed.
That's right. That's right. And then the other bit he had from Ernie Els was roasting hot about something. Says it's the first time he thinks he's ever heard somebody talking to his caddy use the F word as a noun, adjective, and a verb, and an adverb in one sentence. So, Ernie, bring a little color to the Champions Tour.
It's good for Ernie.
While we're on the
do you think David Frost Wines pays David Frost, and it's like a, then, you know, it's an advertisement for the wine company, and
it's a front
funnels money to David Frost.
Sure, yeah, there's probably all sorts of deals going on like that.
I wonder if I could do that. I could do, you know, I could put a fried egg logo on my golf bag, which I already have, and say it's a sponsorship of me.
All right, well, we're on the subject of the older crowd. PGA, Senior PGA Professional Championship. Mario Rusty just mops the floor with everybody. 18 under, just making eagles all over the place. He's 18 under. He wins by six. People are mad. People are furious. I saw Tron Carter call him a scumbag on Twitter. I've heard he's like the nicest guy, really good guy, but this is sketchy. Now he's beating up on the senior club pros. This is no good.
If you play on the PGA Tour, I mean, I don't know. I struggle with this, actually, because if you play on the PGA Tour, you shouldn't be able to be an amateur and play an amateur stuff, but that happens, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But to a certain extent, once you can't play on the PGA Tour anymore, I guess the PGA is where you should go, right?
Yeah. But what's he doing?
It's,
like, he's not.
It'd be worse if he was an amateur and winning like the senior AM in Iowa.
But doesn't that carry some sort of responsibility with it, though? With PGA, like, you're doing lessons or doing, like, he's not doing that. He like does these clinics or something on the road, shows up and he's out, and then he goes, gets his exemption into the PGA or wherever else. I don't know. I don't know that he's like, whatever. I don't know enough. I don't want to besmirch his PGA credentials, but
maybe the moral of this is that once you've played on the PGA Tour, you're not allowed to play in any other golf tournament.
So on this leaderboard, they list their facility. His just says life member. That's all it says.
Why is he a life member?
I don't know. So Scott Hebert from Traverse City Golf and Country Club came in second. T3, another life member. I think he played with Tiger in the final round of the 97 Masters. Paul Stankowski.
Wow.
Is he bringing this Uresti Act?
Paul Stanky Leg Stankowski.
Is he bringing the Uresti Act himself?
Sounds like it.
Huh. Interesting.
He might even be more guilty than Uresti.
I think he might be. I think he absolutely might be. So he's doing his thing. Okay. Interesting. I just would like to make another sort of macro observation. This is the most fringe bullshit. That's, you know, mostly inconsequential, except that some PGA pros who shouldn't be screwed over like that. But thank God for golf Twitter, the golf internet. We make this like front page controversy. We're hollering about it. We're yelling about it on this podcast. I'm trying to remember, like, 15 years ago, Omar Uresti could just sail under radar, smooth, glidely doing this little fraud, perpetrating this fraud on the PGA of America. But here we are, golf Twitter, a bunch of sick nuts yelling and screaming about Omar Uresti.
You know, here's one thing about this whole, I bet this might get him an exemption into the PGA Cup.
But he might not even play that.
This is the best. This is the most prestigious PGA event of the year.
It's the most prestigious cup, in my opinion. The PGA Cup. I got a PGA Cup hat.
Me too.
It's one of my favorite hats.
I love it. I wear my PGA Cup hat a lot, actually.
It's a good hat. So, okay. What else do we got? That's it for golf news. Light news. Not a lot of news. Houston Open will have fans. 2,000 fans per day. Everybody has to wear a mask at all times. I don't know. I'm not going to say they shouldn't. Seems like 2,000, everybody masked. Seems like they'll have it under, you know, control. I'm not disagreeing with that maybe they're starting that. We'll see where we are in a couple of weeks. But if I were playing and I was exempt to the Masters, and maybe there's a 1% greater chance with 2,000 fans on it, I don't know what the percentages are, I probably wouldn't play. This might impact whether I play this event, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you may get COVID and it, you don't even get to have any symptoms or anything like that. But if you test positive at the Masters, you're out. And I just think, like, having fans there and I'm in the Masters, I think about it, right? Even if the risk is minimal, it's still an increased risk with the big whale of the entire season coming the next week. And you don't want to test positive for that. So
no, you definitely don't. I would agree with you with that. I mean, I don't know. With the 2,000 people, I don't know if they'll have, like, you have to stay separated. I assume no grandstands, you know. Will be interesting to see how they treat mask non-wearing violations, you know. Do you kick people out? How's that
throw
work?
Them in the pond, or what yeah. do you mean? Yeah,
what do you do with them? But I know, obviously, with the Houston Open, I imagine a big part of this push was that they did this, you know, the Astros Foundation did this huge renovation with Tom Doak to Memorial Park so that they could have golf in the city. And it's like a big moment for the city of Houston and golf in the city and having the event in the city that I imagine there was a lot of pressure from their side of things to get the fans in.
Okay. Yeah. No, I think, and you got to start, I don't know, figuring out when and how and if they'll ever have fans, you know, not if, but, you know, when and how they'll be fans again. Workshop a few ideas. I don't know if you can do it safely and put enough, like, you hear the NBA, how they talk about the NBA, like the NBA season, the next one will not start. Doesn't matter. Will not start until they can get fans in the arena. It's not possible to play without that income.
Yeah.
Coming in. So that's what they're saying. It doesn't even matter when it is or for the Olympics or the All-Star. It does not matter. They won't play unless they can get fans. So, I mean, I assume those pressures are going to start to build on the tour as well. So.
Yeah. And I think, like, when you think about, like, NFL has some stadiums that are allowing fans, as a human being and as a player, I'd feel a lot safer going to a golf event with 2,000 fans than going to a football game with 2,000 fans in the stands, right?
Are you talking about as a spectator or
yeah,
as a part of
either
a,
either or
yeah yeah
you know like
yeah, I suppose
you got a lot of space at a golf event.
Sure, sure.
Be the only person on a hole. I mean, hell, go to almost any tour event, you can be the only person following a group.
I had a buddy that went to a Browns game when they started letting fans in. It was like, just didn't miss a beat. There was like fights in the stands. There's somebody behind him that barfed everywhere down the aisle. It's like, even at like 10% capacity, it's like still kind of NFL games are still a complete circus. So, okay, that's it.
That's it?
I think so. You have anything? No. You want to get off your chest? You good? Go
Victory
Bears.
Monday.
Go Bears. All right, we got a big one, the Zozo Championship at Sherwood. It may be Caps Lock Week again. I believe these are all Caps again, Zozo at Sherwood. So that'll be fun. Everyone enjoy your Mondays. We'll check in with you on Wednesday.